Yaakov Chav Ches Amad Aleph. We're still explaining the Mishnah. Yesterday's Amad explained cases of food that are mutter to move on Shabbos. We explained why they're not Peshitta. Today's whole Amad to the next Mishnah is going to be what's mukser on Shabbos. Which foods are mukser on Shabbos and you can't move it. It's basically contained sugya, few sifrim in the Shulchan Aruch. And even though it's not so common, but the klalim are very important from this Amud that we can basically apply to all aspects of food that we have during Shabbos of what kind of foods can possibly be mukser. So the Mishnah continued. Avaloh et tevel. You're not allowed to move tevel on Shabbos. Pshita. Of course you can't move tevel. Tevel is food that you didn't take chumas and maestras from. There's an issur d'oraisa to eat it. If there's an issur to eat it, then you can't move it. There's no purpose for it, and it says it didn't mukser on it. Pshita, it's obvious. Lo tshricha. B'tevel tovel mid'rabbanan. We're talking about something that is chayiv tevel mid'rabbanan. For example, shizoro bi'atzit shenu nakul. If you plant it in a pot that doesn't have a hole in it, meaning it's not being nourished directly from the ground, midraisa, it's not chayiv in chumas and maestras. So you might think food that was planted in that type of pot might be mutter to move on Shabbos, even if it just needs chum midrabbanan. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush that something that is usher to eat midrabbanan has a din mukser on it. Can't use it. Doesn't make a difference if it's midrabbanan, if it's midraisa. If the food is tevel, you can't use it on Shabbos, and therefore there's an isur tiltul. You're not allowed to move this type of food. So if you have untithed food in your house, even if it's midrabbanan, like today, or tithing is midrabbanan, you can't move the food. Has it been velo maiser rishon shnitla, the truma that you didn't take out truma from pshita. If you didn't take out your truma, of course you can't move it. Again, you're not allowed to eat it. If you can't eat it, there's no purpose to move it. Lo tzricha. Now, the chiddush over here is a case, and we've already had these gemaras before in the seventh parak of Berachos. It's basically the same gemaras. I repeat yesterday's gemaras and a few gemaras over here. Shaktimo bikrit shenat lamenu maisa, v'no not lamenu truma gedola. If someone took the initiative in the pile of food after you gathered it from the fields, and he took the maisa from it, he took the initiative and took maisa before the truma. What might you think? This is yesterday's gemara, exactly what we said yesterday. If Papa wanted to say to Abaya that if someone takes the maisa before he takes out the truma gedola, it should be mutter to eat. It should be fine. Kamash malan, kiddushani le'abaya. And Abaya answered from a pasuk that no, this is also usher. If you didn't take out the truma gedola from it, you can't, the food is usher to eat. Since it's usher to eat, it has a din of mukar. V'lod ha'maisa sheni, and hegdish, you opposed it, you redeemed it, that you redeemed it. That you didn't redeem, sorry. That's what the Mishnah says. Maisa sheni is food that we put aside to go up to Yushalayim, to eat it with Yushalayim. And hegdish food is food that you dedicated to the base of Migdash. Pshita. Of course you can't eat this. These things are not food that you're allowed to eat. If you have maisa sheni in your house, you're only allowed to eat it in Yushalayim. If you have hegdish in your house, it says it's a mi'ila on it. Lo tzricha. D'naftu v'lo naftu kihilchasim. You redeemed it, but you redeemed it wrong. You made a mistake with it. Maisa sheni. What was the case of maisa sheni? Shapadu al gabi asimon. When you have maisa sheni, and you want to oppose it, because you want to bring money up to Yerushalayim instead of the food, you have to redeem it on a coin that has an image on it. And he did it on a simon, on a slug. What's the problem? The Rachman Omer, Betzarta Kesef Yadcha. The pasuk says Meforish when it's legabi to redeeming food, that Betzarta Kesef Yadcha. Dover Shiesh Bodhi. A coin that is minted, has an image on it. But a slug, no. So what happened over here? The person had his maisa sheni. He redeemed it, but not kilchas. He did it on a slug and not on a regular coin. Therefore, he didn't redeem it. So over here, you might think that maybe we could take off the muksa status. Kamash malan, no. Hegdish, what's the case of Hegdish? Shechilo gabi karka, that he was mechalit on karka. And again, you have to use kesef, not karka. So he did it wrong. Since he did it wrong, it still has the status of food that's asur, and therefore it has a din of muks on it. Rashi. Shelo nitla trumaso. Kaisai didakta shelo nitla. Kaisai jaita shelo nitla chumad maisa shelo. He didn't take the chumad maisa on it. Asimon she ain't a love tzor. A slav. Velo et aluf. The loof in the Mishnah, which says a type of bean, the Mishnah says you can't move this type of bean that's unedible, or the chargal, mustard, and Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel was matib loof. He allowed this type of bean because ravens eat it. And why did you mention over there, what do you mean ravens eat it? Rich people raise ravens, even though you don't have them, but since rich people have ravens, therefore, if you have these types of food that are normally inedible, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel holds that you can move it on Shabbos. It doesn't have a din mukzah. So we're going to have over here, it's a very interesting sugya, and even though it's not so common, but there are animals around. Today we don't have so many animals, but there are animals. We have dogs and cats, and we have different types of pets going on. What if you have dog food in your house? That would be the most common example over here. Can you move it or not? Well, let's say you don't have a dog, but your neighbor has a dog. It's basically the sugya that's going to be talked about. Tanu Rabbanan. Metatlim and a chatzav. You're allowed to move chatzav. What's chatzav? Rashi says it's an esek shemishtarish ba'omik. It's a grass that its roots goes very deep in the ground. Kinegdo, straight down into the ground. Ve'ein shorsh of mitpashtim. The roots don't go around. And ubo, hikom Yeshua et ha'aretz l'Yisrael. This is the famous grass that Yeshua used for the boundaries, because it goes very deep and it doesn't spread out, so it was used in the times of Yeshua to distinguish the boundaries of the tribes. So if you have this chatzav, you're allowed to be metaltalit mitpnei shehu maichal etzvi'in, because it's good for deers. You can feed deers. How many people have deers? I don't know, we'll talk about it in a second, we'll make something common. Since it's maichal etzvi'in, if you have this chatzav, even though it's not food that normally would be consumed, it doesn't have a din muksa. You can be metaltalit. Whenever it says metaltalin, it means that it's not a din of muksa. If you had a chardel, if you have chardel, over here it's the premise that I guess it's chardel seeds that people don't eat, it's inedible. But you could feed it to the birds, to doves. On these, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel Omer, sorry, not on these. Af metaltalim shifrei zechuchit. You're allowed to move broken glass. Why? It's a food for namiot. What's namiot? Rashi says it's benot hayana. In the Torah, in Parsha Shmini, a bat hayana is normally called an ostrich. Okay? So if you have an ostrich, or you didn't even say if you have an ostrich, broken glass, I guess this is ostrich food.
Ostriches eat everything.
They eat everything.
No, they eat everything. It's not bad for them. They can kill them, but they eat everything.
I think it's used for digestion. Like they eat like things in order to get the food moving in their stomach. Whatever it is. Broken glass, you can save for the ostriches, in case you have your ostrich. And even if you don't have an ostrich, it's mashm over here. Since people do have ostriches, not here, but I guess it was common that you have an ostrich over here. Therefore, broken glass, you're allowed to be metaltal. It loses its status of muksa. On that, this is getting too far over here. How many people have ostriches? Elamiata. Whenever you have an elamiata, it always means from now. It means logically speaking, according to what you just said, I'll make a deal. Whenever you see an ata in Gomorrah. Chavili zimorot, which we said in the Mishnah. So remember, we had all types of bundles. Bundles of things that are normally muksa. Unless you prepared it for your animals, it's usher. But according to you, that glass is automatically mutter because you might feed it to the ostriches. The Mishnah would say, Chavili Zemor is muks unless you prepared it. But no way. Chavili Zemor, you talk to Lom. Mipnei Shum Michael Mapilin. You know, you might have an elephant or whatever. It's elephant food. So you might as well use these snacks over here. For Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel, what is he going to say about that? It's a good argument. I mean, you, how far can you take this? Ne'imiot Shechichei. According to him, ostriches were common, okay? Pilim lo shchichei, but pilim are not common. So therefore, that draws the line. We'll discuss in a minute exactly what is common or not. Amei ameima, We're talking about that he has an inyot. He has an ostrich. And that's why it's mutter. Doesn't make sense to say that that's what the argument of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel and Rabbi Nassim were. Look at the question that Rabbi Nassim asked the Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. He asked him, according to you, these bundles of reeds, you should be able to move because they're food for elephants. If he ate late pilim, if he had an elephant, am I low? Why not? So it can't be that he had an elephant or he had an ostrich. What Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel was talking about, elovoy. It's fitting for an elephant, not that he has an elephant. Hachinami, voy. It's fitting for an animal over here. It means that you don't have to have it. Rashi. Italtalo voy hu liot lo pilim uli achilam. Since it's fitting for an elephant, you should be able to feed an elephant. And Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says we decided it's not shchichei. So what do we do with animals? So the Shulchan Aruch over here, Paskim is basically like the way we finished off the Gemara. Anything that is fitting to feed an animal that's common, that's mitsui, an animal that's around over here, it's not moksa. Whatever food you have that you normally feed animals, it's not moksa. As long as it's an animal that's mitsui. And if the animal is not mitsui, then it depends. If you own the animal, fine, you can move it. If you don't have the animal, you can't move it. Now, what makes something mitsoi? And that's really the question that's going on over here. So it's interesting. The Madaik from the Mishnah Brewer, that he says, Vov b'nei Adam, it has to be by Vov b'nei Adam. Now, let's give a case of dogs, for example. Dogs are not by Vov b'nei Adam, but they're mitsoyim. So the Mishnah Brewer then goes on and says, Umati ashirim migadli motam. It's something that rich people only do it, not the common person does it, like an ostrich, a rich, or a monkey. I don't know, what would be something that a rich person would have? Some exotic animal over here. That you can't do. So the Madaik from the Mishnah Brewer, that's something that just is exotic animals, that is anything that kind of food is of a din of muksa. But something that is not exclusive to rich people, meaning an average person would have this type of pet, even though you don't have it, the food for that pet would not be muksa.
Even if it's not a rove.
Even if it's not a rove. So that's how they want to learn up the Mishnah Brewer. This is how the Minchas Yitzchak and the others form that bring down Halacha Lamaisa, bring it down over here. So now, today, since it's common animals, let's say I have food in my house, I have
chicken bones.
Since people have cats and people feed cats chicken bones, my chicken bones are not moksa now. That's basically how the Halacha works. For the Esther of Eliyashov, what about Hefker animals? You have lots of Hefker animals. You have birds all over the place. He said Hefker doesn't go into the category of Mitzoy. So just because there's animals around loose, that doesn't make it animal food. But if it's a normal thing for a person to have an animal, your next door neighbor, you're allowed to save that type of food. That food doesn't have a din of moksa on it. That's basically how it works. Okay, from here, in Shitas Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel, he wants to learn the ostrich. An ostrich is something, or ravens that we saw in the Mishnah, is something that basically rich people own. The average person doesn't own these animals. And yet Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel holds that, even though I don't own it, since rich people own it, that's enough to remove the muksa status. We don't paskin like Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel, but what we see from Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel, Omer Abaya, Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Yishma, Rebbe Akiva, Kulahu Sevir Lahu Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim Him. They all hold to the Shita that Jews have a din of royalty. We have a din of royalty. We see that from Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel. Even though we don't own ostriches, since the rich people do it, we take on din of B'nei Malachim. Which is interesting to note that whenever the Gemara brings down a bunch of Amorim or Tanoim, it's called a Shita. Whenever it's brought down a sheet, the halacha is never like that. Whenever you bring down three or four people holding of a certain opinion, we just saw from the Shulchan Aruch that if it's something that's only rich people have, exotic animals, the food has a moksa on it. But Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel holds, no, he holds that Jews have a din of B'nai Malachim. Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel, Hadi Amar, like we just said, because he holds that if food is void for an ostrich, and only rich people have the ostriches. Rebbe Shimon, where do we find Rebbe Shimon? We found it early in the Masechta, the Tanakh. B'nei Malachim Sachim Al Gabi Markotehem Shemen Varad. The royalty would anoint on their wounds on Shabbos Shemen Varad, rose oil. Shechein Tarkel Shubanim Lachim Lesach Bechol. Since they can use it on, they normally do it on weekdays. Meaning, Shemen Varad, rose oil, is very expensive. So normally a person will not use it on their skin unless they have a wound. But since B'nai Malachim also use it during the week, it's something that they use. It's nice stuff for them to use. Therefore, on Shabbos, even though they have a wound, they can use it. This, it's not muchach, it's not clear that they're using it for a four, since they normally use it during the weekdays. But according to the Tanakhama over here, there's only the rich people, the royalty. But an average person that would only use Shemin rose oil, only for four purposes, it would be usher. Comes Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim. All Jews have a din of royalty, and therefore, even though I would normally only use it for medicinal purposes, but since royalty will use it also for regular purposes on Shabbos, if I use it, it's not muchak then that I'm using it only for refuah, because since royalty uses it during the week, and therefore I'm allowed to anoint myself with these rose oils on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Shimon, even though it's for refuah. Rashi, al machlatehem b'Shabbos. V'lo gozer mishum schikat simanim. We didn't gozer on it because it's for refuah. Why? Shechein darkon l'sof. Sorry. In the case of royalty, Tanakhama holds they didn't gozer on it, and according to Rabbi Shimon, even for average people. Shechein darkon l'sof below maka. Since royalty normally anointed without having a wound. Hilchak lav mucha mil t'tilu before. It's not for before. That's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yekiva, where do we find that they hold that all Jews have a din of royalty? Titania, Hari, Shahayin Noshen Bo Elef Mana. He owes a lot of money. Guy's in debt, 1,000 mana. A lot of money. The Lavush Itzla Bat Kuf Mana. And he has a really expensive coat. That's what Itzla is. It's an expensive coat that's worth 100 mana. So he's in debt with a lot of money, and he has something very expensive. So what do you do with this person? Mavshitinoto. We remove it from him, this very expensive coat, sell it to pay off his debts. And you give him a coat that's fitting for a person that's massively in debt. This guy shouldn't be walking around in such a beautiful coat when he has owes so much money. That's Tanakhama. Tanim Yishum Rabbi Yishmael, and we learned in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yishmael, the Tanim Yishum Rabbi Akiva, we also learned in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yisrael Royim Lioto Itztila. No. We said that we move the Itztila from him, that's such an expensive one, to give him one that's more fitting for his status. According to Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, it's a fitting status for all Jews to wear expensive clothing. Therefore, it's fitting for him, and you don't remove it from him. Okay. Chavili Kash, the Mishnah went on and said different types of bundles of Chavili Kash, Chavili Eitzim, Chavili Zordim, only if you prepared them. If you said that I'm going to use it for a Michael Behema on Shabbos, does it remove its muksa status? If not, if you have these bundles of hay or whatever in your house, they have a din of muksa on it. Tana Rabbana, we have Brisa, Chavili Kash, Chavili Eitzim, Chavili Zordim, bundles of hay and wood and zvardim, vines. If you prepared it to feed your animal, Erev Shabbos, then you can move it. But if you did not prepare it Erev Shabbos, it's just in your house, you can't move them. He adds another condition. Even if you prepared it on Erev Shabbos, if you're able to move it in one hand, meaning it's not such a burden, it's not such a tircha on you, one hand is the limit. I mean, you can't just start moving around tons of food. One hand, you can move it. He holds it's asr to l'taflam. Rashi, hatkidon. Has minon that you prepared it. Also, the top losing never should be mulio. Viafilo has minon or Michael Behema, even if you prepared all of it. If it's too heavy, more than you could carry with one hand, you can't do it. It's a tircha for the person, and we don't make extra tircha on Shabbos. the Brisa continues, Chavile, Sia, Azu, Vekarni, these are different types of spices. Hachnisim la'etzim, if you brought it in your house for the purpose of firewood, meaning that's why you stored it, Ein mistatik mehem b'Shabbos. You can't take from it for Shabbos if you want to use some of it. Now you changed your mind and you want to use it for Shabbos to spice up whatever, make some tea with it, I don't know. L'maichel behema, but if you put it aside for maichel behema, mistatik mehem b'Shabbos. Then you're allowed to use it. And how do you use it? Tekotem b'yad, you snip it off with your hand, for ochel, and that's how you do it. Ubilvad shlo yiktum b'kli, and you're not allowed to use a kli for it. Rashi says on that, Sia azo v'karni, l'kama m'forish, I'll explain what they are. Haknisim le'etzim li'avshim, you brought it in to dry it out for wood purposes. Shalo yiktum b'kli, you can't use a kli, k'derech chol. K'deremina, this is called a uvda d'chol. Certain vessels that you use, certain kalim, if you don't only use them normally for weekday type purposes, you can't use it for Shabbos. So something that you would normally cut some herbs with, I don't know what an herb cutter would be. Maybe, what are they called? These hand things that you cut your flowers with. Herb cutters. Fine. They would stama. That would be stama, the case over here that we're talking about. Don't do it with a kli.
They're called shears.
Shears. Thank you. Excuse me. Well, b'vach lo yikdom b'kli. Now that you took it off, you plucked it with your hand, umolo v'ochel, you're allowed to crush it. That's what molo means. You're allowed to crush it a little bit with your hand, v'ochel. And we're not worried about token over here. Well, b'vach lo yimalo b'kli harbe. Just as long as you don't really crush it up with a kli. That's Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. V'chachamim amim, molo b'rosh etzbaotav, you're allowed to crush it lightly with the tips of your fingers, the ochel, and you're allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to really crush it up, these things, with your hands on Shabbos. Again, it's a uvta d'chol, something that you normally do during the weekdays. You're not allowed to come in with kosher in different aspects on Shabbos. V'chein b'amita, another type of herb. V'chein b'figa. V'chein b'sharat mini tavlin. And so also all different types of spices. That's the end of the price. My mita. What is a mita? Ninya. And Rashi says it's a type of mint, so maybe that's nana. Well, it's a type of mint over here. Sia. What is sia? Omer Rav Yehuda. Satre. Not sure exactly what satre is. Azov is avarta. Not sure what that is. Karnit is karnita. These are all things, I guess, common.
Hyssop.
I don't know what hyssop is.
So you put in...
Okay, herbs. These are all the herbs over here. Karita Shema. It's called Karita. Vaha, Hahud Yomer, Lahu, Mad Boya Karnita. What do you mean? Karnita is. Karnit is Karnita. Someone said, Mad Boya Karnita, a traveling salesman. Who wants Karniti selling outside the windows? Fishtacha Kashi. And we found it's Kashi, and it's not Karnita. Eliyav say like this. Sia is satre. That's satre. Azov is avarta. Karnita is chashi. These are just to know exactly what the herbs are that we're talking about. Rashi. Ma'aman depari silka. We don't have this in our Gemara. There's different kirsas that someone who chops up beats finely. Finally is similar to token. There's a Gemara that we had in Klal Gadol. The Milta de Rebbe Yehuda Garcina. And these are in the matters of Rebbe Yehuda, who holds of a much broader spectrum of muksar. Garcina, Molil Vyokal Bivachlo Yamal Bikli Harbe, Vichamimimim Molil Bivoshiat Vatava Bivachlo Yamal Biyado Harbe. That's our Gemara from Gemara, Kiderechol. Kak Mitzadati Bitosefta, and that's what we found in Tosefta. The Rabbonin Machmiri de Bikuli Yada Asr Ela Bivoshiat Biyotav. We find that the Rabbonin are Machmir. That in all these things that you do with your hands, we usher, it's usher unless you do it with the tips of your fingers. Umiu molil kagon, in bali achol hazera, molil hasharbitin shehazor betocho. You're allowed to rub the stems that the seeds are in order to remove it just with the tips of your fingers and not do it too much. Okay. Itmar. Basar maliach, From here till the Mishnah is it's going to be on meat and fish. What kind of meat and fish is mukser on Shabbos and what's not? And this is a little more halacha l'maisa for us. Itmar. Basum aliyah. If you have salted meat, I guess like a beef jerky, something that was preserved, food that was preserved. Mutar l'taltalo b'Shabbos. You can move it. It's edible and you're allowed to, therefore it has no din of mukser on it. Basar, tafel. Over here we're going to say tafel, even though there's a base over here and a whole thing going on exactly what is tafel. But the pashtus is tafel means it's unsalted raw meat. Raw meat on Shabbos. But if Huna Meir Mutar l'taltalo, he holds that you're allowed to move raw meat on Shabbos that's unsalted, meaning you're not allowed to eat meat that's not salted because it has the blood in it. And therefore, it's until you salt it, it should be unedible.
So you're talking about salting for kashrut or salting for preservation?
It has to be kosher. Over here, it would be raw, unsalted. Well, it's, once it's salted, it's kosher. So it would be both, l'chor.
So it doesn't have to be salted like preserve it. Just like salted kosher?
Salted meat. Basar tafel means raw meat that's unsalted. It's not fit yet to eat. It's not prepared meat.
So meat that's salted, that's not preserved, it's not edible either. You said beef jerky. I mean, like, because beef jerky is a lot more than salted just for kosher.
Like, fine. Meat. That would be the in-between case. Basar tafel is unsalted. Basar maliach would be beef jerky. Strained basar chai would be salted meat that's raw, the third case.
Right.
So let's put basar chai aside, because that's going to be talked about in the post-game. Over here, we're dealing with prepared meat, and basar tafel, which meat that's not salted at all. On meat...
Hold on.
Let me just check over here. Let's just kind of go on Rashi real quickly. The chin bia meat to catch on Rashi. The common voice maya mita, ninya is minta, figam is voda, tzatre is shadria, lavia, lo, kulio, whatever that is. Abatre is ishna, tukashi is shadria, valashin, harishin, lo, porsh. Okay, basa tuffle. She'enu muluach. It's not salted. you know what? Basa muluach. What do we have? It's not.
It says over basa muluach. The basa chai shenun lach hitay v'shad b'milcha v'yibshuhu. V'mishtamer la zman v'roi li'ach b'lo bishu. That's what basa muluach is. Something that's edible without cooking.
Good.
That's basa muluach.
That's beef jerky.
That's beef jerky. Basa chai is salted meat that, like you said, salted
meat. Warm meat. Okay. So Rav Huna on warm meat, mutar l'taltalo, you're allowed to move it, doesn't have mukhs on it. Rav Chisda omer, asur l'taltalo, it's asur to move it. Rav Huna omer, mutar l'taltalo, according to Rav Huna's sheet, you're allowed to move this meat over here. How could you say it's mutar l'taltalo? We'll show that he holds another place he can't. Vaha Rav Huna, Talmud de Rav, he's a Talmud of Rav. For Rav, k'rebi Yehuda sphere like, the eight lay mukhsa. Rav holds like Paskins like Rebbe Yehuda. There's a machloket all through our Masechta and Masechta Beah between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Yehuda holds Eitli Muksa, meaning he holds a much more stringent concept of Muksa. Rebbe Shimon holds Leitli Muksa, meaning he's much more Mekel in Muksa. Rav holds like Rebbe Yehuda, the Eitli Muksa. So how could you say that Basar Tafel should be Mutter to move? He holds the stringent aspect of Muksa. The muksa lechila sover like Rebbe Yehuda. When it comes to muksa of food, he holds like Rebbe Yehuda. The muksa letaltel, but to move it, he holds like Rebbe Shimon. Rashi. Mutar letaltel, the late late muksa betiltel. Meaning you hold that the food is aser, it has it in the muksa, but you're allowed to move it. The muksa lechila sover like Rebbe Yehuda. Kaloma. But it's a muksa le'inyin lechila. When it comes to the Issa Muksa, in the matter of eating, Sova la Karebi Yehuda. The Asali Achlo, meaning it's an Issa Muksa, you can't eat it. Will be Issa Muksa, Latalta, Sova la Karebi Shimon, but he holds that you're allowed to move it. For Rav Chisda, who hold Omea Asar Latalta, that it's Asar to move it. For Havev Yitzchak Barami, Ikla Lebe Rav Chisda. He was at the house of Rav Chisda. For Chaza Ahu Bar Avazi, he saw a goose that was shechted. They were moving it from the sun where it was rotting into the shade where it could stay more preserved. It's because it's I'm going to lose money that if you don't move it. So what do you see? You see over here that Rav Chisda holds that you can move raw meat. And we just saw over here that you can't move. Hakashaani bar alvaza, really goose meat, or I think it's a goose, is different. The chazi leumtza, it's fitting to eat raw. Some people eat raw meat, since it's fitting to eat raw. Vashi, bar alvaza, shachot, that's shechted. Misham shalatula, shalo yasrich, in order that it shouldn't rot. Someone put it in the sun. It's getting hot. And they removed it from the sun to the shade, according to what he said. But you can eat it raw, meaning unsalted meat that has blood in it. You're allowed to eat raw. Because this is a din in Hilchos Melicha. We're not allowed to eat blood. That's an issur d'oraisa in the Torah. But that's only blood that's separated from the meat. But if you have a raw piece of meat that even has its blood in it, that you never salted, if you put it in your mouth and you eat it, that's fine. It's not an issur of eating blood. It's only called blood that's porish from the meat has it in. Therefore, when we cook, the cooking process always gets the blood moving. Therefore, anything that you cook, you have to salt. But if a person wants to eat basar that's raw, absolutely raw, not even salted, there's no issue on it.
What?
Oh, because anything that's fitting for a person, you're not going to feed to your animal. And you have a good goose over here, and all you have to do is wait for a Motzi Shabbos, and you're going to eat. I'm not going to give my dog a good goose over here. Okay. On that, with meat, that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that any raw meat, that's even if it's not salted, unsalted meat, is mutter, because it's chazi lumtza, people will eat it raw. Lamaisa, the Shemir Shvat Kilchasa, brings down today, no one eats raw meat. No one eats it. And therefore, today, bizmanenu, we're not knowing at all to chew raw meat, therefore it has a din of muksa on it. Right? So therefore, raw meat, unsalted meat, is mukser. And since no one eats raw meat at all, the Shmir Shvat Kilchasa brings down, raw meat is mukser. So therefore, if you defrosted your some meat for Erev Shabbos, and you left it in your fridge, and you didn't cook it, it's a din of mukser. Because there's no purpose. You don't eat it. People don't normally eat it today. And therefore, we go according, even though in those days, I guess they ate umtza. Today, they bring down, Rav Shmuel Zalman brings down that we don't eat raw meat, has a din of muksa. So meat in the fridge, that's it's unedible, it's muksa. Okay? In the freezer then. Therefore, if you have food in your freezer, it's muksa. But yet, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you can eat it. So they bring down that it's a hesed meruba. For example, if your freezer or your fridge breaks and you have all your food in your fridge and your freezer, what are you going to do? It's mukhsa, if no one eats it, there's definitely what to rely on, that you can move it to another person's freezer over here. That's with raw meat. Tana Rabbanan, dag maliach, salted fish. Mutal etatlo, you're allowed to move salted fish, because salting it is called cooking the fish over here. Mishnah Berurah brings down that it's the same thing as smoked fish. Smoked fish is raw fish, but it's smoked makes it edible. Dog, tuffel, dog that's not salted, it's unedible, it's asr tatala. It's asr to move. Now I'm wondering, even though I didn't see the poskim brought down, today people eat raw food, sushi. So I'm wondering, according to the klal, if we're being machmir, that raw meat they used to eat in the old days, but today we don't, and therefore it loses its status. That's non-moksa becomes moksa. I'm wondering, in those days, they didn't eat raw fish, but today it's common that people eat sushi. I never did.
But certain,
can't
certain types of fish. The fish we have in our freezer is not sushi.
Yeah?
Salmon is sushi. Tuna is sushi. If raw, you slice it up.
What to think about? If raw fish today, if it changed, we saw we could be more machmir. If you could be more mako because the eating habits changed, I'm not sure of. But it's definitely what to think about. Dog tafel, us letaltalo, basa, bein tafel, ben maliach, mutter letaltalo. We saw over here, all meat, since it's fitting to eat, is mutter letaltalo. Today we see the poskim, machmir, according to our the way we eat. Dog tafel, us letaltalo, the ein uvoy leklum, that unsalted fish is not fitting for anything. Sushi. Or kalavim lav daite, mishade. You're not going to throw it to the dog. Of maliach, nakal chai. But if it's salted, you eat it raw through the salting. You're allowed to move your bones on Shabbos because dogs are common. Today it's cats. Dogs don't really, I don't think anyone feeds their dog's bones, but we feed cats' bones.
No, we feed dog bones.
We feed dog's bones?
We don't feed dog bones?
Oh, yeah? Okay. So we're allowed to move it, and if you want to save your dog bones for Chaim's dog, you're allowed. Yes, it's mitzoy. Basa tafuach is masriach, rotted meat over here that a dog will eat. But your dog eat rotted meat? Everything. Okay. We play shu Michael lechaya. We don't say it's dog food, but it's fitting for other animals. Whatever it is, even if you have rotted meat, it's not mukser since you can bring it to Chaim's dog. Mayim migulin. Mayim water is a din in the Shulchan Aruch that brings down mayim migulin, water that you leave uncovered. It's called mayim migulin. We don't drink it because we're afraid that a snake likes water or wine, and they might come and drink from it and leave venom in it. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, even though they bring down in a footnote. Today it's a Tosfot, little place that snakes are not common, and therefore we're not nitzer on mayim migulin. I picked up a kuntres. All these kuntres are coming out, so I never know how far to take it. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings down that no, we have to be worried about mayim migulim. You know, just because we can't see the snakes, there's all kinds of microscopic things. I don't understand. The belt is not machmir on mayim migulim. There seems to be a makor that if someone wants to take on more chumers, there's always what to kuntres is to find to take on more chumers. Mayim migulim in those days, though, was something they took very seriously because there's a lot of snakes around. So therefore, Maya Megulin, the Pnei Shem Royim Lechatul, it's mukta. Normally you left your water out, oh my God, something water out, it's mukta, you can't drink it. But since the cat who eats snakes, they're not affected by the poisons of the snakes, you can give the water to the snakes, and therefore it's not mukta. No. Kol Atzman Aser. The whole thing is Aser. You don't leave it for the cats or anything. Lishalsam, thank you. Mipnei Asakana. Since a person might come and drink it, you don't even save it for the cats. Just get rid of it. Rashi. Lechatul. Lo Mazik Lei Eretz Denachash. They're not affected by the poison of a snake, the venom of a snake. Shafa Nechashim Huach. Just leave it. Eat the snake over here. Mipnei Asakana. We don't keep around Maya Magun because of the Sakana. Shema Yishta Adam Mehem, the person might drink from it, therefore we don't even keep Mayim Bagul.